following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, love. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for dialing us up, tuning us in, whatever it is that you do to get the program. It's episode, 313. We just passed a milestone, apparently, this year, I think. I can't remember exactly because I have to, like, do math and stuff. But, yeah, I just sat here and did this. I figured it out. 312 episodes, right? 52 weeks in a year. That's exactly 6 years. So tell how much I give a shit. This show is 6 years old. How about that? 6 years. And what have we accomplished, ladies and gentlemen? Probably really not a whole heck of a lot. But in 6 years, I mean, this would be the beginning of our sixth year. Just kind of going along. I mean, this whole thing started. I mean, we got to remember, From Radioland started as kind of an idea to maybe, you know, promote Radio Memphis. That was sort of the idea here. And well, we've done a good job with that, but it kind of morphed into its own thing. It's turned into this life of its own, and it does what it does. I mean, I mention the radio station once a week, but I don't make it the focus of it. It used to be we would run, some of the content that we would have over there would wind up over here, and then it got its own on-demand channel, and away it goes. much as we're trying to keep up with it, yeah, I got a full plate. Cannot elaborate, but I have a full plate. Nevertheless, 6 years. Okay, we just keep on cranking them out. That's what we do. I have no plans of really, you know, stopping this, as far as I know. I mean, it's not like, you know, well, you run out of things to say. No, not really, because there's always something to get into. There's always something to get into. And we're going to do just that today. We're going to talk about exclusivity in the media, specifically. because there's this whole thing about, you know, people always say they have the exclusive thing. And, you know, we talked about breaking news last week, so it just seems sort of like a second look at this is by talking about exclusivity, because we hear it a lot. We talk about it a lot, and we act like it's a really important thing when really it's not. You know? 'Cause nobody gives a shit, really. That's the bottom line. But at any rate, I don't want to waste all of that. That's coming up here in just a bit. Also, we'll tell you what's going on tonight over at Radio Memphis. If you happen to be listening to this before 8 p.m. Central Time, there's some fun stuff that's going to be happening over there, right? Yes. Cool. We'll pause. That's quick. Well, it says the commercial break. It's quick. It's short. It's like 30 seconds long. We'll get into that and more. It's up next about out of this little brief break right here. Don't go away. You're listening to it right here from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company. Ancient burial mounds, yellow fever, maritime disasters, Victorian murders, and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
I'm going through Facebook. I find myself less and less opening up the timeline, the news feed, I should say, and I set it up. I'm picky about this, and Facebook doesn't like it when you do this, although they won't take it away. I sort my news feed by most recent. It makes more sense to me that way. Twitter's doing the same thing, and you can sort it as to, you know, the most current stuff instead of, you know, what they think the algorithmic stuff. Still, I find myself less and less in it and on it and looking through it, mainly because I know that there's just not a whole heck of a lot here that is of any, of any real import or really value. And a lot of it is that I've already seen all this. It's weird. It's like there's this deja vu. Well, are you seeing it? Because Facebook is the first to get it. No, Facebook's not. Although there are people on Facebook who shamelessly steal the posts and things off of Reddit. If you're not hip to what Reddit is, reddit.com. It's interesting. That's where you'll find the jokes, the memes and stuff like that. You'll find that over there, but they're a little different. They're a lot different. But people will often take some of the stuff from there and then shamelessly post it onto their own page as though they've created it. And we've talked about this before, that the percentages of who does what online and where it's all coming from, 5% of you, 5% of you in the internet that are using the internet actively, 5% of you are the content creators. The rest of you, the other 95% of you, aren't creating shit. You're just stealing. You posted it on your own, you know? That's fine. That's what it's there for, I suppose. Because, you know, whatever it is that you post to Facebook and social media in general belongs to them. And that is the case. I've had to make some adjustments regarding what I have been seeing. And I think it's a lot of it, too, that's kind of driven me off of Facebook, was that there was a lot of carpet bombing. You know what carpet bombing is in social media? Carpet bombing is when you got somebody that hasn't been on, and they haven't been on in a while, and they'll go through and they'll post and post, just back to back, and they kind of flood your page with memes, you know, self-affirmation stuff. That's, you know, one of these days you'll fall in love with a fat girl or whatever the case is. And you know, the other one is the picture of the dog with this that doesn't have the face. Have you seen this? It's the dog that's sitting there goes, I bet no one will give this dog a like or a share or something like that. He was horribly burned or whatever the case. And if you look real carefully, the dog, he's got a face, all right. It's under the slice of ham they draped over his face. And there for the longest time, that thing kept coming up. And I finally got to the point where I started commenting on it. I said, you do realize that dog has a slice of ham on him. And that kind of ended that. And the other one is the religious ones. Look, I'm all for your religion. Whatever it is that you like, I'm all for it. I'm 100% behind your religion, whatever it may be. And, you know, if that's what turns your crank, great. And I love the one where it is there's a Jesus, if you will, and he's got the Jesus look on his face, and it says, I bet none of you will post this on your page. And when I pointed out that was actually Obi-Wan Kenobi played by Ewan McGregor, that's not Jesus. These are the people that finally figured out, they go, why? Oh, I thought I saw this. It was the only place I saw it. And therefore, look, kids, exclusivity is a lie. It doesn't exist. If you think that this, I mean, that's the whole point. Wherever it is that you find out information, news, whatever, if you haven't heard about it, it's news to you. That's sort of the point. Well, did you hear what I saw on Facebook? They do that a lot. I saw this on Facebook. Did you see it? No, I saw this weeks ago somewhere else. And that's what happens. And it creates a bit of confusion amongst people because they don't know quite how to understand this. They don't quite get it. They're like, well, but this is what this is, and this is what this is. No, you're seeing reflections. That's the important thing about social media, is that if whatever it is that you learn about what's going on in society, you are seeing a reflection of that. And that's like a reflection out of a ripply bit of water. It's twisted. It's distorted. The reflection doesn't quite look right. There's an image problem, if you will, to use the parable of it. And it's always bent, you know, the news is always bent. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's heavy handed high end news, or is it politics, is it religion? It's all twisted and distorted, and none of it. I mean, we talk so much about, you know, fake news and the problem with fake news. Yeah, it's still an issue, but the problem is that they're taking real life news things and they're twisting them enough to turn them practically fake, and it becomes, you know, it becomes a really big issue, and it's along the same lines of that. speaking of fake, the deep fake videos. That are, and there's deep fake audio. There's all of this stuff that's, you know, Facebook doesn't know quite how to handle it. you know, they have an issue as it is now with dealing with out of context news sources, because they're trying to trying to prevent you from being inundated with false news. We are hoping, I would say, that most people out there in the world have a pretty good grip on how to identify that. You know, everybody has their bullshit meter on them, and we've had to like use it practically overtime because of everything that we have seen and done and heard and all of that stuff. So, you know, it's there. There's ways to get around the news and sort it out where it is that you need to find your information, but don't rely solely on one source, and especially don't rely on social media for it. Hell, even Reddit is way late, but a lot of that is filtering, and that's a lot of what that is. And it's, since it's user curated and it's user driven, it's a much different sort of thing. And it's usually based in some sort of silliness, which is nice. It's a good way to get away from all of that. So, you know, when you talk about, like I said, we were talking about exclusivity, the big scoop. I mean, that's the thing that, I was watching some television news story. Television news in general here of late has gotten to be really bizarre. I don't even know where I saw this, but it was an exclusive to them, by God. And it was their lead. And the lead was, this is what it was. There was the lead was, they came out of the open. The, hey, how you doing? Good evening. Here's why everything else sucks. And there, usually it's breaking news and there's something bloody happening. In this particular case, there wasn't anything bloody about it, but this was the lead. A woman and her fiance were going to get married that day. I think this was Friday. That day, and they went to they went over to the venue to do something before the wedding, and it was closed and it was never going to be reopened, and the business just, you know, they just locked up and said, they just unasked it. And they'd had their rehearsal dinner the night there before, and all this, and I'm sitting there watching all this unfold, and I turned to my wife and I said, this is the lead news? This is, after all of the bullshit, everything that goes on in this fucking city, you're going to lead with a bride who can't get married at a place because the guy who ran the business just didn't show up? That's the, sold the business, quit, whatever the case may be. That's the lead? Really? I left the room. I left the TV with her. I'm like, this is all on you. I'm going, you do what you want. I'm going back to my office. I think they claimed it was exclusivity, and then of course it was all over, you know, the various news sites and stuff, and they were talking about it as that was their exclusive thing, and everybody's got this exclusive thing, and it's not. Exclusivity is everybody looking for the big scoop, and here's where the peer here therein, as you will, would say, here's the problem. Because if everybody is out there really, really trying to get that big scoop, right? They're trying to really pull it together. They're trying to get information that nobody else has. And they're first out of the gate with it. The problem is that now all the facts are wrong. Big news setups, you know, big news stories are fluid in by nature. And let's use an example here. An unfortunate example, but it's a good example nonetheless. When you talk about a mass shooting, right? Something, there's an active shooter situation somewhere. Well, everybody's real quick to hop on the line and make sure that they were the first ones to tell you this, right? So what happens is they start leaping out there with their facts or what they've been told, which is really inaccurate. So not only are they really trying to outdo each other just by becoming a dick measuring contest, along the way they're spreading false information. It's just what happens because they don't even know. A couple of weeks ago, when Kobe Bryant died in the helicopter accident, the helicopter crash, we were having a brunch, the wife and I, and we were in a restaurant when all this was going down, and there were some people seated at the bar. We were seated just down on the dining floor away from there. But there were a lot of people there, and somebody kind of shouted out. He goes, "Oh my God, Kobe just died in a helicopter accident." So we flipped the TV over to some news source that we were watching, and they didn't report on it for a good 20-30 minutes. Because they were being, it seemed to me they were being responsible. Now they did say they had their breaking news that there was a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California, but that's all they said. They didn't elaborate. They said there was a helicopter crash in California. And it wasn't for another 20, 25 minutes before they finally came out and said that it did in fact contain one Kobe Bryant and then his daughter. And then there was all this other stuff that came out, and it took a lot of time for the real stuff to kind of dribble out there. But in the meantime, every other news source out there, I think TMZ was like one of the first ones to have it, is that Kobe Bryant was killed in a helicopter crash. They may not have been 100% accurate, but they at least got that fact out there. And the issue then became, at least in my mind, was, okay, how fluid is this situation really going to be now? Because we've seen a little bit of what has happened, but we don't know all the answers. So like any other news type of setup, it leaves you with a lot of lingering question, doesn't it? It's because now you've heard something has happened. X has happened. And now the who, what, when, where, and why stuff isn't always going to be the relative thing. So if they don't have all of that, just to make sure that they have the ability to sound as though they're important or that they're a trusted source, they'll sometimes stretch the fact a little bit. Seen that time and time again. And it's in this world that we live in now, where the media is constantly scrutinized, and rightfully so, quite frankly. That's what I'm doing. So I'm sitting here, I'm pointing a finger at all sorts of media, television, radio, newspapers, magazines, the internet. I love being picky about this kind of stuff, because that's where we're at. I mean, we're over here trying to get our information, trying to get our news. And what is it that we find out? That, you know, about what, a third of it is inaccurate, if not more. And we live in a time now where we need to have accurate information, and we don't need to have the inflammatory headlines. We don't need to have the inflammatory facts. We don't need to have all of this trouble that's just kind of laying there, because they're eliciting a response out of you. And that's the whole, we've talked about this before, why fake news even exists in the first place. And it's to piss you off. It's to scare you. Fear is a huge motivator, especially in media and in entertainment. It's a massive motivator. I mean, look what we've got going on now. You know, there's so much fear that's out there in the world that it drives so many things. It could be racism. It could be, there's been a lot of that, thanks to the president. But that's just rooted in fear. And I see it every once in a while. It's, you know, in the social media, when these stories come out, and they're clearly patently fake news stories, just lies all the way from top to bottom. And they put this out there, and it'll be something racist, and they'll say, like, some town in the United States is now adopted Sharia law, and they're killing people in this American town, or something just ridiculous bullshit. And they do this to spread this fear and to get you to line up with their ideologies and their politics. And my response has always been to these people, because I've been in public places, and people will talk about them. They'll say these things like it's true. And I tell them, man, it must be awful for you to live with this kind of fear that you have, to spread that kind of stuff. Well, you're not going to see it in the mainstream media because, it's a cabal. They're all to just kind of turn you into sheep. Really? Not that I'm mainstream media, but I'm certainly telling the truth, and nobody's telling me what to do and how not to do it. I just choose to be a little more honest. When it comes to news, I'm going to tell you what I know as a fact, because I don't want to be the guy that goes, well, you know, I don't want to be the source that turns around and people go, well, you know, Rick was talking about blah, 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 and turned out he was a complete lie. I don't want to be that guy. And there's enough of that. Alex Jones took that line a long time ago. And look how that turned out for him, right? What a douchebag. But the whole point here is that there's not enough room in our media today to have this blatant falsehood that gets spread around because nobody wants to check the facts, first of all, because it takes time. Second of all, they may lose their position as being the first to tell you. And that's what it boils down to. They can kill two birds with one stone. They can elicit the fear that they want to give, you know, passed around out there, and then they can be the first to tell you that. And even on the local level, it's still somewhat of an issue. I mean, when I worked in television news, it was, you know, if you had an exclusive thing, this is the only thing that you'll see on Channel 28. You know, Channel 28 News brings you the salt and pepper shaker caper. We're the exclusive new, whatever. I mean, come on. They start, it's like the breaking news thing. They keep breaking news, but at the same time, they're also going to have their exclusivities. They're going to be, by the time you're done watching, you go, God, I don't know if I feel dumber for watching this or if that I've just been missing out. I'm conflicted. Typically, I feel a lot dumber for having watched this. And yes, there are certain values to this stuff, though. I mean, that's part of it. You know, the weatherman. He can't make that shit up. I mean, because I could look outside. But here's the thing. Meteorologists, the smart ones at least, have done things like they carry over into social media. They'll do a Facebook Live. Ooh, hell yeah. If you're really following what weather information is going on and you're sitting at your desk, you're sitting at your office, you're sitting there with your phone or your whatever it is that you're doing, typically connected to the internet, because that's where we all are. And you see my man Austin Onick from over there at Channel 3. He's doing a Facebook Live. I like to check in with that. See if he's talking about something. Well, by God, I need to be aware of what it is that he's talking about. And, you know, what's what I like about Austin. He doesn't elicit panic. some meteorologists like to talk about it because like this last week we had a little bit of snow here and it was fun to watch, you know, some of the meteorologists. Ooh, it's going to snow. You know, we got barely a 16th of an inch and it lasted about 2 hours by morning and it melted off. But nevertheless, there were school closings. That was amusing too, because television news wants to be the first to tell you that your kids aren't going to school. And it was a joke. It was just a flat out fucking joke. We are gaining our ability to, as I mentioned earlier in this show, we are gaining our ability to siphon this stuff out. We're getting better at it. It was a tough lesson. Past 3 years, maybe 4 years, we've been dealing with tons of, I don't know if this is satire or if this is real stuff. Or satire is the onion, right? They write it and it's funny and it's cute. There's stuff that's happening out there that we're going, what? What was that was said? How is this being said? Why is this happening? I don't know what to believe, they would say. This is terrifying, they would say. But now, we've figured it out so much that we can turn it around a little bit and say, okay, that's bullshit. And this over here is bullshit. And that over there is bullshit. But you know, over here seems to be a little bit better. We're getting better at that. We are. I think we, as a society, especially here in this country, because now we're kind of hypersensitive to it, really. You know, when you're able to see through the bullshit and you see all the weirdness that's going on, that's where it becomes handy to have this ability to A, not be frightened by the stuff we see in the news, and B, being able to understand the validity of it, the efficacy of whatever salve that they were putting onto your soul. That's what that is. I know those are heavy words to use when you're talking about the news, but I will tell you this, my friends, and this is the best piece of advice I can always give you. When it comes to my squeaky chair, when it comes to the news and what it is that you see, feel, and hear and read about, always, always look at it with a jaundiced eye. Always take it with a grain of salt. Always do your research and never, and I mean never, be afraid of it. That sort of fear, it's an awful way to live.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
I mean, clearly, the whole point of these posts that people put out there is not to change your mind anymore. It's to make them feel better about themselves, especially with self-affirmation stuff. Oh, you're just going to love me when I'm fat. You know, those kind of things. Or this. Back in the old days, we came home from school and did our homework. No game playing. We took our school clothes off. We got home and did not go outside and play in them. We didn't sit and listen to grown-ups talk. Well, we left the room until company left. We ate what was cooked or nothing at all. Blah, blah, blah. I like the old days because they made me a better person than I am today. Repost if you agree. Back in the old days was something America should have stuck to for raising kids. Share if you agree. Please. No one's sharing that shit. Well, clearly it showed up in this post. But here's the whole point. They do it to say that we were right all along. Okay, boomer.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. Be that as it may, such as the stuff. Ooh, Lord. Tonight, 8 p.m. Central Time, radio-memphis.com. It's the Booze and Blues show. It's a doubleheader tonight, kids. We've got two great acts starting at 8 p.m. Going to about 9:30. It is our great friend Sweet Angel will be hanging out in the studio with some new music. She's a blast. She's a lot of fun. Just a very delightful lady, and she'll be on the program. And then following that at 9:30, going to the 11 o'clock hour, maybe a little bit later, you never know, it's our old friend, Mr. Eric Summer. He's our traveling troubadour. He's back through this area, and he's going to tell you about a show he's got going on this week. So, yeah, if you happen to catch this program that you're listening now before 8 p.m. Central, be sure and join us at radio-memphis.com for that. Monday, it's David and I. Yeah, we're back in the saddle again with Radio Memphis in the morning, sometime starting in the 9 a.m. hour. It's before 9:20, I think. Try to get there when we get there. And then you've got the Miss Donna thing happening in the Nooner and all that fun stuff. So there you go. Plus, Prog Time, Monday night, Memphis Mellow Monday night. It's basically live radio all the way to the midnight hour. So there it is. It's all happening tomorrow at radio-memphis.com. How's that for a promo? Okay, kids. I would have an unpopular thought, but I think I'm out of gas. I'm out of gas. Although I just had it before I sat down to tape all this, I had me a tuna sandwich. I was at a store and I had a deal on tuna and I couldn't pass it up. I typically don't eat a lot of tuna, but I like it every once in a while. And so they had like four cans for like $2 or something. So anyway, I picked it up and I made myself a sandwich before showtime. And it was delightful. And my problem is with a tuna sandwich, two things can happen to me. One of them, I get really sleepy. It's the tryptophan that's in there, which is like turkey. El tryptophan, played by Antonio Banderas. And the other is if I put in, because when I make my tuna salad, it's recipe time with Rick. When I make my tuna salad, you know, I put in a little mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. Like Duke's mayonnaise. Oh, that's the shit right there. And some sweet pickle relish and a little dash of dill, maybe some ground pepper. And, you know, and if I'm lucky, a hard-boiled egg, I'll cut it up and throw that in there. And then, you know, I'm just making a sandwich. I'm not looking to win any awards here. And sometimes if I'm feeling frisky, I'll throw in a little bit of soy sauce. I think we talked about this before. One of the big sandwich to-go joints that have the alleged foot-long sandwich. They make their employees sign non-disclosure agreement about their tuna. They put soy sauce in. They want nobody to know that. You know, a little bit of soy in there, it's good. It's yeah. But when I do that, then I feel like I have to have like an Alka-Seltzer later. I don't know what. I guess I'm just getting older. I guess I'm a little more sensitive. But I don't know. I put soy on all this other stuff, and it doesn't bother me. So something about the putting it in the tuna makes me a little gassy, I guess, or something, whatever the case may be. But enough of that nonsense. I've got to go. I've got to run. Y'all be sweet. We'll see you next time, okay? Until then, happy 6th anniversary to from Radioland. We've all been through this together now, haven't we? Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.